Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Because Mom Said So. I'm here with my favorite mamas.
Good morning. This is the second to last one, right?
Yeah.
I think so, but that's okay. You know what? Don't be sad it's over. Be happy it happened. We're moving on to bigger and better things, my dear dance moms.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. You're right. You're right.
So Because Mom Said So played its course and we're moving up.
Yep.
It's all good, but I'm happy to see everybody this morning. So Hal, I know you got a lot going on. What's happening now? You're like, you're 1 foot halfway out the door. I see it.
I know. I'm sorry. I don't want to be a distraction. They're watching me as I'm moving. I'm doing a lot of movement over here.
That's okay.
It's all good.
I'm with you.
It's a lot. I have, just because I met with someone from Chapman earlier this morning, who was just delightful because she's over on the West Coast. And we were talking about, like, as a parent, like, she's development office. That was great. It was a lot of fun. And now I'm getting ready to go to LA to visit the kids. So I'm very excited about that.
Are you going to Disney?
Nope, not this trip. No Disney.
Oh, you always go there, Holly.
How many times a year do you go to Disney?
I go as often as I can because I have a pass. So because I have a pass,
that wasn't my question.
I don't know.
You can plead the fifth.
No, does your pass work at the one in Florida? No,
I wish it did. It does not. But I haven't been to the one in Florida in a couple of years. So I'm due for a visit for the Florida one. They have a lot of new stuff coming out and I really want to go. I have not been in a couple of years. But yeah, I love Disney.
Well, I'm going to reach out. It does too. I'm going to reach out to Nia to see if they are going anytime soon, Gabe and her, because I have our friend Max here. And I would love, you know, he's from Australia and he said, I'm going to take him to Universal next week, but he really wants to go to Disney. And I was like, let me ask if the kids are going because Gabe is Mr. Disney and it would be really fun.
Yeah. That's a good match.
That is a great match.
Me and Gabe could probably show him all the good. If he's never been, he kind of need a guide to say, this is great. This is great. Eat this. Right?
But he's amazing.
Get him
he's
a turkey like, leg.
Get him a turkey leg.
Gotta experience a turkey leg with Nia.
They have so many great snacks now at Disney. I remember when I was little and we would go to Disney and the food was not fantastic. It was like regular amusement park food. You go to Disney now, it is like a dining experience. People just go just to eat. The dining is so good. It's very good.
That he made reservations for, pork something. I forget. It was like a sandwich. Oh my gosh. I sometimes taste it. It's so good.
If they have really good food now. They're known for their food now. People come just to critique and try their different, and some things are seasonal. I know what you mean. I know exactly what you're talking about. But yeah, they should. They should connect with Max so they can take him out. But I go back to your question, Jill. I probably go
once a month.
Let's say about 12 times a year because sometimes it's not every month. Sometimes it's not between. I would say about 15 times a year. Oops, sorry.
Your number just jumped from 12 to 15. You're not under oath, Hal. We will forgive you.
You know why? Because
I love it.
Sometimes I go for multiple days when I go.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
I think the last meal I had at Disney in Florida was at Cinderella's Castle with my kids.
Yeah.
Four and five.
Oh, wow.
So I think I better get my butt down there, right?
I love it. Like
we're out by you guys.
Like when Holly and I went, when the kids, like wasn't I running to the characters? Like when I saw some, we were first in line for Pooh Bear.
So you're like a kid at heart. So you're still a kid.
Oh, I love it.
Yes, we were. And then Eeyore stopped for us as he was walking and we took a picture with him.
I love Winnie the Pooh. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Eeyore and Winnie the Pooh.
That's what my kids' rooms were when they were a baby.
My girl's bathroom was all Winnie the Pooh. And I had the little figurines and.
I had a mural painted on my wall on the
room. That is so cute.
I bet that's cute.
When Natalia saw Eeyore and when she was five and Pooh Bear, I cried because she just was the way she lit up And they had a service dog there for some reason. Aww. And it was just like so emotional. I could still remember. And she's 12 now. So that was a long time ago.
Yeah. My two oldest loved the characters, like EJ and Nia. William could care less. And it wasn't like he was afraid. Like he literally could care less. Like we would take pictures and the first two would go running up. And there would be William, and they're like, "You want a picture?" And he would look at them and shake his head. No, thank you.
Mine always
isn't that funny.
Mine wanted to get the signatures.
Yeah,
like they could care less about riding the rides and stuff. It was like their goal to just get everybody's autograph.
But you know, I noticed it doesn't. I didn't see people doing that this time.
Oh, really?
Do you, Hall?
I don't see, that's a good question. They still have them. I don't see it that often. I don't think people get autographs that often in general. I think it's more about the pictures and the autographs. Yeah. They still have autograph books because I see people talking about them. I agree, Melissa. I don't really see people.
I still have my kids.
Do you?
I do too. I got a necklace, you know, like a lanyard with pins. So I will bring that next time. But I was really jealous about your ears that you got last time, the pink ones. They're so
they were
cute.
Oh, thank you.
You and your ears.
I do have it. I have an ear collection.
I do. Yeah,
It's a little bit of an obsession.
Holly, maybe are any of them like
limited edition or whatever?
Yeah, like you can't.
Can't get them anymore.
You can't get them anymore.
Yeah. Some of them are like that. Oh. Some of them are limited edition. Some are special, like special custom made.
Special occasion.
Yeah. Some I had professionally made and are custom just for me.
So I know what I'm going to wear when I go next time.
Custom made ears.
Hire someone who does ears. So there's a whole community. I think I'm like a Disney adult. I really do think I am a Disney adult.
You are Disney adult. You're right.
I think I am a Disney adult. But you can hire the people who make custom ears, and so you can even tell them, oh, I want this kind of design. Can you make it? And they'll sketch it out for you and then they'll make it for you.
You're obsessed.
Do you know what I'm going to wear?
What do you wear?
I just got these really cute polka dotted shorts. I sent them to Kelly.
Yeah. Red ones.
Red and white ones. So I'm going to wear them to Disney, and then I'm going to get the, because I almost got the polka dotted ears. So I'll get the polka dotted ears and wear them shorts. That'll be cute.
Yeah, that'll be cute.
That'd be cute.
Okay. I have a question. If I remember correctly, when my kids wore ears, they were little caps with ears on them.
No.
Do they now have headbands? Now they're headbands.
Yeah. Yo, you haven't been there in a long time.
I told you.
You are telling on yourself. Yeah.
I told you.
I think though they have those, and those are retro.
Yeah.
Well, hello. Have we met?
You get your name? Didn't they embroider your names on it?
Yeah. You don't see those very often. You really don't. Yeah. They do have, I think they still have them, but that
Maybe I could sell mine on eBay.
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Get $5.
$5.
You have a little bit of money. Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah.
What's your favorite ride since we're talking about Disney?
Oh my goodness. I have a few. I love Peter Pan. There's my something favorite. About I love Peter Pan. I hardly ever go on it because the line is too long.
Yeah.
I like It's a Small World.
Oh, that's so darling. I love
it. It was classic. It was closed when we were there, remember?
It is classic.
Yes, it was.
Lumi is everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, I look and Lumi is there. I'm like, I have that. Isn't that funny?
Yes, you're right. When we started these ads, it was online and I saw a couple commercials. And I'm so fortunate to have had the opportunity to try Lumi because guess what? Once you try it, you stick with it. Mm-hmm. I love it. And I've seen it everywhere too. In Target, all over the place. And it has such great packaging.
It does.
It's very pleasant to the eye. I love the packaging.
It really
is. More than that, I love how it works.
This just in, body odor is officially canceled for good this time.
Yeah. Unlike certain other deodorants, Lumi whole body deodorant is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet and yes, even your privates. I mean, 72 hours, put it on once and done, people. Yeah. In fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. Fast forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole body deodorant has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like us who love smelling great and feeling confident head to toe.
And special offer, new customers get $5 off Lumi starter pack with code BMSS at LumiDeodorant.com.
Whole body deodorant Lumi is seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. Was created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. It's baking soda free and paraben free, pH balanced for safe use below the belt.
So I like to use it. I love to hike. So I like to put it, of course, under my arms, but I put it under my boobs and like behind my knees, which is really strange, but I sweat there because when I walk, I think that's why I sweat so much there. I don't know.
That's wonderful. You know, I sent a whole package to my aunt who's in a nursing home.
Oh, that's so nice.
And she was so excited. She's like, what's this? What's it? She thought it was makeup at first because it is so brightly, you know, the packaging is so nice. But yeah, the Lumi starter pack is perfect for newcomers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, and two free products of your choice, like the mini body wash and deodorant wipes. The deodorant wipes are my favorite.
Oh, I love them too.
Keep them in my car.
Yes, it's a great idea. Put them in your glove box. You know, and they have free shipping too, which is really great. Choose from a variety of fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, or toasted coconut.
For a special offer for our listeners, new customers get $5 off Lumi Starter Pack with code BMSS at LumiDeodorant.com. That's Lumi, LumiDeodorant.com. Did I ever tell you guys the story about the cab driver, just my most recent trip in LA when we did the reunion, whose father, this cab driver was, it was Uber driver. He was old, like
50.
Old, and his father wrote the lyrics to It's a Small World.
Do you believe him?
I do, because he really told a lot of stories. He talked a lot about Hollywood and LA and the change, and he had his finger on it. He said, I've lived here my entire life. I was born and raised. My father, you know, he showed me the hills. And then when I left, we were talking. He gave me, didn't I tell you guys this? A $2 bill.
No.
He said, I'm going to show you. He said, I can trust you with this $2 bill. He had a little stack of them. I have it right here.
Is it a real $2 bill? Do you think she has a real $2 bill?
Chris, swear. Look.
Oh. Do you think it's real?
Oh yeah, that's real. It looks real.
Chris, $2 bills.
So he just has a stack of $2 bills that he hands out to his passengers?
Only some. That's he said.
Well, you're special, Jill. You're special. And she has it right there on her dresser.
On her nightstand, yeah.
Yeah. Well, because it was kind of recent that I was there, and I just kind of stuck it in my mirror. And he was very interesting. People are so interesting with their stories. I have a question.
This is Kenzie's $2 bill that Greg gave her.
The fact that you guys have them so close is like ridiculous. I have a $2 bill, but I don't know where the hell it is.
So this was made by a fan. This is a duct tape wallet.
Yeah, I love that.
And then Greg gave her this, so we keep it because and I keep it in my makeup.
I love it. I don't have a $2 bill.
Yeah. Well, I have no idea where.
But Jill, I have a question. I was there with you. When did you take an Uber? Where were you going?
Let me think about this.
To the airport?
Maybe. I think it was because we came through. Melissa, did you and I get together? Maybe I went shopping. I went shopping. Okay. I took an Uber to the Grove. Yeah, because we stayed, where did we stay? I can't even remember. Out near Burbank.
Burbank.
I think I went shopping because I went to the Grove and went out and about and did some things. Yeah. And I was all, Kendall wasn't with me. I was all by myself. Maybe it was, I think, Kelly, it was the day after we were done and the girls had one more day to film, something like that.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, I went home that day.
You went home. That's right.
I was wondering why I wasn't with you.
Yeah.
And I was busy. I was busy, so I couldn't meet you. I remember.
Yeah. I think it was my shopping trip. But anyway.
Kelly, you could have gotten a $2 bill too.
I know.
You went home and missed your opportunity. Yeah. And Melissa, you were too busy. You missed your opportunity too.
They were
so fresh too. He had a whole little, you know, I mean, he probably, I don't know how many, but little stack, but he picked it up and it was like, it was so crisp.
I love that. Not a crinkle.
So you know what I hear?
Not a fold.
I hear Jill got a special part.
Oh, it made me so happy too.
She got a special part.
Jill got a special part.
Well, back to It's a Small World. People are interesting. I mean, think of it. Someone had, you know, he wrote the music. He wrote the lyrics.
That's pretty impressive.
And I might have said something like, I bet he was rolling in the money, blah blah blah. He's like, no, they paid him $25, you know, way back when. So that's when we started talking about, he said the industry's tough and people take advantage, and
we know that,
you know. And you never, he never knew it was going to be such a success or whatever. And here, how old is Disney? 75?
I thought it was 100.
I remember they had a big.
Well, it's hard to keep track. Like 100 of animation of the worlds.
Definitely 100 because there's a Disney billboard right down the street.
Yeah, 100 years.
And I remember it was 100.
Yeah. Right? So 100 years ago when he wrote it, who knew it was going to last this long?
That's the last time Joe put there, 100 years ago.
That's exactly right. With my little ear cap.
Yeah.
That's me.
Oh my gosh. Oh, it's Disneyland is 68, but Disney World is
older because that's first. Oh, yes. Right, Disneyland is oldest and Disney World is younger. I think Disney World is like in the 70s or something.
And Walt Disney Company was founded in 1923.
Yeah.
So that'd be 100.
Yeah, that's the animation is 100 years.
So that's 100 years old. Yeah, that's so cool. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's go to Disney.
Dance Moms at Disney.
Let's go to Disney. Next time we're all in LA.
Yes.
Now you guys need to come here and go to this one.
And I will go to Florida too.
Oh, we can do that. We can do
both. Yeah. Okay.
You know, that would make me so happy.
Because I love Epcot. That's so much fun. Then we could go to all that. We can get little passport and everything.
Yeah.
That's true. We go to Epcot. We can do it all. We go to Animal Kingdom. Go to Avatar line.
I love Animal Kingdom.
I want to sleep at the Animal Kingdom.
The big tree.
Oh, that's the lodge is very nice.
Yes, I want to stay there.
Can you imagine?
That's the last time I stayed there.
I want a giraffe to come up to my balcony.
We stayed there the last time I took the girls to Disney. That's where we stayed. And they were little.
That's nice. So fun.
Yeah, no, we didn't.
I was still married.
We were at one of the dolphins. Do they have dolphin resorts?
Yep.
Yeah, they did the swan and the dolphin. I've never stayed there. Here it's very nice too.
I think that's where we stayed with my kids 100 years ago.
I think we with her Mickey Mouse hat.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you guys go to Disney as a child?
Never. My parents couldn't afford it.
No, I went when I was 12. When I was like 12.
You remember the age?
That's the beauty of Disney. You remember it.
I don't remember. Yeah. I'm sure I went because my grandparents both had places in Florida, but I don't remember. I can't remember what I did an hour ago.
No, we never went.
I was 12, Holly.
That's good.
I remember.
You guys must have been rich. I never went on an airplane with my parents ever.
No, I didn't either.
Oh wow,
I didn't either.
just things like that, I guess I took for granted. I mean, going to Disney was a big deal. It was a big deal. And then we would go like every other year for a while. We went for quite a bit. And then we stopped going for a bit, for a minute.
Yeah.
I used to take my kids every year.
And now it's $1 million.
Teenagers. And then they didn't want to go there anymore. So
it's expensive now. I mean, it used to be affordable, but
that's one of the last things.
Disney ticket.
Two something now, right, Hall?
Yeah.
For one day
to do two parks and for Disneyland. Yeah. It's expensive.
So a family of five, you $1,000 to get in.
Just to get in the door. Yeah.
Another $1,000 on food.
Yeah.
And trinkets.
Yeah. That is expensive.
That's one of the last things we did with my mom as a family. We went to Disney World. It was nice. She loved it.
That's nice. Oh, yeah.
That's sweet. That's really nice.
There's something about Disney that just brings out, I don't know what they do, the child in us. It's a very magical place. It's hard to conceptualize. And so I know people don't like adults necessarily going, but it's for anyone. And it's to make you happy. And there's enough negativity in the world and you're kind of suspended. And like this, my sister went, we went for Mother's Day last year. And my sister's, she's so funny. I think Heather's hilarious. She's very like rational and just very matter of fact. And it's funny, we went. I love her. She's great. And we weren't expecting her to be so engaged in a lot of the activities.
Good.
She was like into it. She was so, I think it surprised herself. Like she was into the character breakfasts or the dinners and seeing how other people were interacting with the characters that made her smile. We had her buying like the lanyards with the pins.
Well, how was that her first time?
She's been before, but she hasn't been in years.
Right,
she
of course, when you were a kid.
Probably a decade, probably a couple decades. And she had the best time.
I wish I would have been there.
Yeah. It was great for me to see that and experience with it. We had a blast. My mom had fun. Heather had fun. Because it was like the kids did it for us for Mother's Day. I'm like, I don't know if they're going to want to do this on Mother's Day. They're like, sure, Gabe and Ann. Well, like, I love it. I'm like,
I'm going to ask my kids right now to take me there for Mother's Day. That would be so much fun.
It was a blast. So much so they're already asking, when are we going again?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Well, those are memories.
They were memories. Yeah.
And that's what they want. Yeah. They want you to go. Yeah. They want it memorable. I'm not sure they want you going 15 times a year, Hall, but they want families to go and make memories with their kids. I think that's great.
Need someone to report.
That's Kenzie's label, so she should be able to get me in there for Mother's Day.
She should be able to do that.
Mother's Day
May 12th. I already looked it up
because it's the day after my birthday.
Good to know.
Yeah.
So you could do a combo birthday, Mother's Day holiday.
I could go for
2 days.
Two days.
Yeah. A two-dayer.
Here you go. We got up to 17 times a year.
That'd be good.
Moving up.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. That's according to Indeed data and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Let's face it, everybody wants something, you know, it's like hand to mouth. You want it now. You want it fast and easy. With Indeed, you get that when you're hiring.
I've told you this before, but my friend Tiffany, whenever she needs anyone, she goes on Indeed. And she said it's so fast because she's stressed when she has to get rid of somebody or replace someone. So she goes to Indeed and it really is so easy.
So she can ditch the busy work. She can use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging. So you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites.
Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibly at Indeed.com/mom. Just go to Indeed.com/mom right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/mom. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So did you guys watch the Hoda video?
I did. You sent it to me this morning. I think that was so sweet.
I love Hoda and Jenna. I think they're really cute and they have such a good connection, don't you think? And they're really different in age. I think they're probably at least 20 years apart from each other. Do you think?
I do, for sure. Yeah,
I think so, definitely. Yeah.
It's so funny. Do you watch them regularly? See, I don't.
I do.
I loved the video. You do?
I watch them every morning.
I watch it on YouTube. I watch them on YouTube because I don't really turn the TV on, but I love them. Oh, so you watch it every day. That's cool.
Well, it's just in the morning, the first thing I do is turn on the TV and it's just, I always put on that channel. And so they're on. I'm usually like working around my house, but they're on so I can hear them, you know.
How long is their show?
I think it's an hour.
So it's just 1 hour. It's a morning show.
Yeah.
But yeah, for everybody out there.
I was going to say, yeah, explain. I just don't know anything about, I know Hoda and Jenna, and I've seen clips and stuff of them, but I don't watch their show. So what do they always talk about? Anything?
Everything and everything. Like motherhood, child, everything that we do, like, you know, but there's a little bit better than ours.
Well, they have producers giving them topics.
If anybody wants to look at it, the topic is, was on YouTube. Hoda shares birthday party moment that made her start weeping.
I learned a life lesson this weekend.
Okay.
Ready?
You always learn a life lesson.
This one's a good one. So we were at a birthday party and it was at a real grown-up gymnastics thing. You know, it was like a big deal.
Yes.
So Hope, my youngest, was clawing to get up on the vault. And when you stand on the vault, you leap and pitch yourself out into this big vat of those big squishy bricks. It's like for grown-ups.
Yes.
So I'm standing because all the parents are away, far away, and I'm watching Hope struggle and scrape and try to get up. And I'm like, seeing the lady, I'm like, help her. You know, I'm like, help her. So I'm watching Hope and she does it again. And the woman goes, come on. Like I see her going like that with her arms folded. So Hope grabs on, latches on, pulls herself up on that vault, is standing up. She's scared to be high up. I watch her fling her body into that big whole vat of those squishy things. And I started weeping.
Oh,
I was like, I was screaming for her up there. And I said, Hope, I said, I saw what you did. That was amazing. And she said, I just imagined, Mom, that down there were all the mermaids and I was going to swim with them.
Oh.
So I jumped. And I just, it struck me in that moment as I was watching both my girls, like rock, I was watching Hilly rock climb. I'm usually, I want them to do their thing, but there's a part of me that's always like, oh,
helping.
It just reminded me, kids can do so many things without us.
Totally.
Get out of the way.
Totally.
And that was because I was forced out of the way. That was the only way it worked.
Yeah.
And now she felt brave. And I was like, gosh, like she got that from that one moment. And I could have inadvertently taken it away.
Yes.
By just trying
by
to be
wanting
helpful.
To help.
Like stop helping
yes.
everybody.
I know. Well, there was
right?
that article recently about how benign neglect,
yes.
which is the way that we were raised,
yeah.
is actually the best
yes.
parenting tool. Because if you're constantly, if they rely on you for everything, now like Mila's in fifth, sixth grade.
Yeah.
It would be hard.
Yeah.
They would, well, where's my binder? You know, it's like.
All the things.
All of the things.
You're right. And I think sometimes it's like with all the best intentions.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and just think about how many times a parent's like, do you need water? You know, you see the parents hovering and then you start to become that too.
I know.
Now, do you guys agree with Hoda as far as what they're talking about is letting your children do things on their own, correct?
Yeah.
Well, I have a question. I know that surprises you guys. How old was her child? I know she has two girls.
Yes.
Yes.
How old was the little one who was trying to get up on the vault? Do we know?
She's seven. I don't know why I'm thinking seven, but maybe I'm wrong. Hoda's little daughter. So they were at a birthday party and Hoda's daughter was trying to get up on the vault because it was at like a gymnastics, like trampoline park. And then what you do is you get on the vault and then you jump into this big, like what do they call it?
Like a pit, right? Like a, yeah, like a ball pit or a ball foam pit.
Yeah.
A foam pit. And she got so scared. And I'm like, I remember those days. And it really freaked her out because she wanted to go help her, but she really didn't want her to do it because she didn't want her to get hurt.
Well, here, I'm reading an article here that said that was a day ago, and it says Hoda, who's 59, by the way.
Holy crap, she looks so good.
Hoda Kotb brings her daughter Haley's first grade class today. That was a day ago. So the child's probably in first grade. So she's probably what, six?
About six.
6 or 7. Yeah, that's about, well, as I was watching it, because you guys sent me the link, and you know, you feel her angst as a mom. And she said that her daughter was clawing and trying so hard to get up on the vault. And Hoda's sitting there thinking, could the coach just help her? Can you just lift her, give her a little leg up? And she said the coach, how she explained it, the coach stood there and said, crossed her arms and said, you can do it, try harder. And I we've all been there where we're like, oh my God, just help them.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then Jenna talks about benign neglect, where you don't help them and they learn on their own.
Which I think is good.
I never heard of it phrased benign neglect.
Me neither. Yeah, I didn't either. But I do think it's good to let, I mean, you kind of, it's like a live and learn kind of thing, you know, like.
Absolutely.
But it's hard as a mom. Like, I remember when I went back to work and Maddie was just, it was just Maddie and she was walking. I kept calling my nanny and I'm like, every day, every single day, I'm like, don't take her outside by the garage or by the basement. Cause we had like cement steps going down the basement and it was just like a hole. You know what I mean? Like you could walk and there was like literally kind of hole with just cement steps. And finally my neighbor covered them because I drove the whole neighborhood crazy with these steps. Every day I called her, she goes, I know. I'm like, I just have to tell you because if she gets hurt, I just, and it was like, it consumed me, those damn steps.
Yeah.
So isn't that weird? Like,
no, and, I think that was the gist of the link was that we've all, if you're a parent, you've been there, you feel that. You want your kid to succeed, but you got to help them, but you got to learn when to not help them.
Yes.
Well, and it's interesting because I wonder how many of us have parents who interfered like that to that level. You know what I mean? I don't think my parents were neglected me at all, but I think they allowed me to be independent to figure and problem solve and do things on my own and didn't interfere with that discovery. And I know Jenna referred to it as benign neglect. I refer to it often based on a book I read called Blessing of a Skinned Knee. And I do subscribe to that.
Yeah, you've talked about that. Yeah.
That theory. I do think there's great value in a blessing of a skinned knee. And like nothing that you're going to get yourself like a broken limb or, you know, have a fatal accident, nothing of like a catastrophic, but a skinned knee, you will get over. Like, and there's a blessing in that, and that you will learn like, oh yeah, that hurt. Or, you'll be a teachable moment.
Yeah. But like next time I'll do this instead, you know?
Exactly. So I think sometimes parents, and I think this is the other part that I got from Hoda's take is that, but if she had interfered, she would have stopped this revelation for her daughter of bravery, of achievement. I did it. And I think that's the problem that parents get when they try to fix everything or, you know, I can do it. I can make it better for you. They don't allow their children to discover that they can do it on their own and they can do it well. And it's okay. And it's, and it's, the other thing is, yeah, it's okay to fail. It's okay to fail sometimes.
That's how you learn. And, you know, it's funny because my sister, you know, with Natalia, Natalia's 12, she's going to be 13 in August. I want my sister to send her on an airplane here. And she said, and she has had Natalia so afraid because I can't sleep without my boppy. I'm like, you're going to be 13 years old. You need to do it. Like, yeah. I'm sorry, but and my sister won't get in an Uber. I mean, my sister and I are opposites. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do everything. I mean, I will try everything. I'm not afraid of things. I mean, I am afraid of things, but I'm not afraid to get an Uber. I, you know, she wouldn't do any of that.
You have to let them go, and you have to let them go, and you have to know that they're going to fall and skin their knee. Accidents are going to happen. Hopefully they don't fall down stairwells, but you know, happens.
Yeah.
And that's life. I think my parents totally were in benign neglect. They were busy. I mean, my dad was a professor, a doctor. My mom was busy. They were busy, and we ran around the neighborhood. Nobody knew ever where we were. My parents never knew.
Yeah.
I didn't know where my brother or my sister. Occasionally we'd meet up on a ball field, you know, playing kickball at the school that we walked down to. But yeah, my parents, things were different then. And then after us became the helicopter parent. Do you think we're the helicopter parents?
Oh, I was.
I'm not.
I might be. I'm not sure.
I'm kind of glad I'm not. Just like with me being here, like I don't have to worry about my kids surviving without me because I know they can do it. Like where if I feel like if I was a helicopter parent, if they say something happened to me, like I don't know how those kids would survive.
Yeah. I was a helicopter parent when they were little. I mean, I never let anybody watch my kids. I mean, you know, I mean, they didn't really sleep over people's houses when they were little or anything like that.
Maddie used to sleep at my house all the time.
She was at your house all the time. Yeah. But like, you know, they were independent enough to go sleep at other people's houses. But when they were babies, I was just like, I was definitely, but all of our kids are so independent.
Yeah. I don't know if that's because of the show. And
I think like it's the way of the show.
They had to be raised or
because my girls are different. The other two were much more needy in a,
needier
than Kendall. Just because of how they were raised and times were a little different. And I was home all the time with them. And then I wasn't.
Yeah, I think I was not a helicopter parent. I think partly because I was working. Mm-hmm. And even though I was working at the same school that the kids attended, which was kind of like, oh, I'm around. I wasn't really that much around.
You weren't around.
I was working. And so they had to be self-sufficient. I also, because I was a teacher, I tried not to interfere too much because those were my colleagues or, you know, and they're, I don't want them talking about me. Like, look at her. Like she's a nightmare parent. She's into her kids, all of her stuff. Like you had to walk the talk, I guess, in a sense, like if you're telling parents not to be a helicopter parent, you can't be a helicopter parent too. Yeah. So,
well, it's hard. Is there something wrong with being a helicopter parent? I guess there is. So that's a bad thing if you're a helicopter parent.
Am I opinion?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think everyone believes that. And I'm sure a helicopter parent wouldn't believe that.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Yeah. I do.
I just feel like as a parent, when you see your kids as adults being able to do things on their own, it's almost like,
you did your job.
Yes. Like I feel proud. Like I'm so proud that my kids can do things on their own. Cause I see kids their ages and they can't
do things I know.
On their own. So I feel like I succeeded as a parent, you know, because my kids are so self-sufficient.
The first time my kids ordered their own flights, I was like, oh, it was like, I know that sounds really crazy because I always find when you do your own flight, you really have to double check the dates. It is. And then when they did it at such a young age, I was like, like, I think
that's like Brooke. She went to those 14 countries or whatever, and she did it all on her own.
I know.
Everything was except my mom was so impressed by that. And I kind of just thought to myself, I didn't seem strange to me. My mom just thought like, my God, she's 21 years old and she can do that on her own. And I'm like, who could, you know what I mean? I don't know. I guess I just expect.
And when I see the kids doing that, to go to your point, it's like, oh, they're going to be okay. Like when you see your kids doing things like that, doing their flights, going to 14 countries, you're like, they're going to be okay.
Yeah. But there's some kids that can't do that. There's some kids that can't do that.
Agree. And very true. And you know, I'm not a helicopter parent now, but I was then. But it's really funny is Kenzie had to leave at 5 a.m. today to get on her flight. And I was awake. I didn't text her or anything, but I did look on Life 360 to see if she was moving, and she was. just because
see,
I knew
she- I, I don't know, Melissa. I think you're a teeny bit of a helicopter parent.
Yeah.
And listen, yeah. I don't have a problem. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think we have to help
our kids
to become who they are. I mean,
you're
my
a secret helicopter parent.
Well, you because live her- in LA because they do. Your house is here. Yeah. But there's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, Selvin texted me at 6 a.m. and he said, Kenzie, the package has landed or something, you know? And then he said, I triple checked her passport. He's like, I'm turning into you, you know, basically.
I love that.
You know, but because, you know.
Nothing wrong with it. Doesn't mean your kids aren't self-sufficient.
Okay,
I'm changing my judgment.
Yeah. I'm not going to say helicopter parents are bad. I'm not going to say.
But I don't think I am. So like, but I'm just saying, like, I'm not, like, I'm always here.
Melissa, you are. Yeah. And it's okay.
But wait.
You pick up your
kids'
dogs. You do everything for them.
But they work.
Because they're busy and work.
They work.
I know, but lots of kids work and they don't have their parent who live down the street.
Well,
to do everything
for them. Josh started working for his dad.
And that's okay.
He started working at his dad's company and he has the dogs. Oh. Well, he's like, he doesn't want to work because he wants to stay home with his dogs. I'm like, Josh, you cannot not work because of your dogs. And he's like, but they miss me. And I'm like, but everything in the world that has a dog works. Like he does. I'm like, but he's kind of like he expects somebody to come and babysit. I'm like, no, Josh, your dogs are just going to have to get used to you working.
And
like,
they will.
Part of life.
Yeah, because Maddie can leave Boots. Because I used to be like, you want me to pick Boots up? She goes, Mom, he's a dog. He's going to get used to it.
Yeah.
She leaves him for all day long for 8-9 hours. And he's so good. And Ivy's the same way. But
now if I lived in Pittsburgh, I don't know. I might be like you, Melissa. And I might say, oh, well, I'll take care of the dogs while you're gone. But see, I'm not there. So I can't.
Yeah. But I had to take Ivy because she's going out of town. So.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Let's put it like this. This is where I'm going to change my sentiment because about helicopter parents, because I don't want anyone to feel bad. I think when the helicopter parents interfere with their child's development,
that's an
issue.
Yeah.
Okay. I've now changed. I'm listening to everyone. I'm like, okay, valid point.
I think we're all helicopter parents.
Yes.
That's why I was surprised. You guys are like, I'm not. Holly, you fly to California to help Nia move. I mean, that's wonderful,
but that's not.
But that's very different. I think that's very, my parents would help me. Like they would.
Well, that's because that's my point.
My parents are not helicopter parents. They were
that's what we
not.
Do.
They're attentive. No, I think helping someone move, like a young woman move by herself in a city where she has no family or family. Melissa's there. So she's different.
Yeah.
But that's very
well.
Different.
Maybe that wasn't a good example.
You know, that's different.
I think you're there a lot for her to help her through her things, like we all are, because we like to, and our kids want us there.
I think that. I don't consider myself a helicopter.
I don't either.
Parent. Right. I don't, because I also function in a different way for Nia, where I do a lot of her business stuff, and then when I'm out there, I do some of my business stuff. Mm-hmm. So I try to condense them to both. And then I also have two kids who are out there, and you know,
because I don't consider myself as a helicopter parent either. I'm just here to help because they're busy.
And as a helicopter, I don't like for me.
Here, I'm gonna Google what a helicopter parent is.
I think if you're not a helicopter, like for all the
I'm saying it's okay. I think it's great.
No, I don't. When you work with them, it's not great.
Yeah,
it's not great.
But even if you're not a helicopter parent, that doesn't mean that you don't love your child any less or anything. You just.
Mm-mm. Right.
Because I want to say
there's no right or wrong answer.
Like, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I'm not a helicopter parent. It's because I know my kids can do this stuff on their own.
Right. I think a helicopter parent is trying to solve all of their problems.
They're actively
engaged in their life, like as on a daily basis, with just like daily practice. That's to me a helicopter parent who's doing life choices, life, like living their lives, like the children cannot function without them. That's my definition.
That's of mine too.
I think mine that's too. True. And that's why I love that you said that, Holly, because I'm here for my kids when they work, but I'm not a helicopter parent. I think I was a helicopter parent when they were babies because I was afraid of them falling. But well, I let
it's Maddie, different when they're babies.
My God, right. Maddie,
everybody's that
so
way.
So I also think of a helicopter parent who's someone who's constantly hovering, thus helicopter. Yeah. So for a school, like a teacher, someone like a helicopter parent for me would be a parent who drops their kids off and then doesn't leave until noon, or a parent who drops their kids off until 10. Socializing with everyone in the school, but they're always there. They go get coffee and then they come back at lunchtime to drop off some lunch for their kids. And then they're back early at dismissal time.
The people like, do that?
To me, yeah, there are. There are people who just hover and are there on a daily basis. That to me is a helicopter parent. Like,
let me read this. Read what it says. The term helicopter parenting describes parents who are over-involved in their children's lives. They hover close by and swoop down to help at the first sign of trouble. I mean, it's true. Then it goes on.
That's like Hall said. Yeah, that's interesting.
Helicopter parenting has spawned the more recent coin term lawnmower parents and snowplow parents. Have you guys heard of that?
I've not heard of one of those.
Such parents not only hover, but also mow down or plow away any obstacles in a child's path or teenager's path.
because they grow up. So now they're.
it's touchy because I would have said we're all helicopter parents, to be honest.
I don't think so. I think we allow our kids to figure things out.
For sure.
And then when they need help and they ask for help, I think that's the difference. When my kids ask for help.
Exactly. Like my kids always know that I'm here for them, but I'm not there, but they know they could call me for anything and I would do whatever they wanted, but I don't actually volunteer.
That's the difference. Yeah.
Because I'm letting them do it on their own. And they know if they need something, they can call me and I would always be there for them.
But that's
very rarely do they call me for things. You know, I mean, they'll call me like when they're doing their taxes, like, and they have stuff, like they'll call me
That's parenting. That's not helicopter.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I don't think I'm a helicopter parent.
Yeah. That's the point. Like, I think when your kids call you and ask about, I think a lot of times it's like, can you figure it out? Like, it's not convenient for me to do whatever it happens to be if I have to go out to LA. If there is something every day, there's an issue. There could be an issue. I can't be there to solve your issue. And also, that's part of you being an adult. That's life. You got to figure it out.
I know how much you love your Honey Love. And I know you hike in it. I know how comfortable it is. And do you know how I know? Because I have one too. And I love my Honey Love bra. Yes.
I do too. And I like, because like when you take it off, there's no indent on your arm at the end of the day when you have it on for 12 hours. When I wear a different bra, sometimes I have like indents. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You know that feeling when you get home from a long day and immediately you want to change into something comfortable.
Exactly.
Well, when you have your Honey Love products on, your bra, your undergarments, you don't feel that. You have comfort all day long, 12 hours.
Thank you to today's sponsor, Honey Love, for sponsoring our podcast. Say goodbye to underwire and bulky fabrics that trap heat. Honey Love's bra features supportive bonding that eliminates the need for underwire without sacrificing lift. And I'm telling you, it helps so much when I'm on my hike. I tell you, I do not sweat in this bra. Plus, they're made with fabric that's so soft, it feels like a second skin. You'll immediately feel and see the difference. It's so next level comfortable, you'll forget you're wearing it.
Honey Love's bestseller crossover bra is so comfortable, it's sure to be your new favorite go-to. But it doesn't stop there. Honey Love has more than just bras. They have incredibly comfortable shapewear, tanks, and leggings for everyday support. Honey Love has you covered for the everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more.
It's time to spring clean your bra drawer, which I love doing that. For a limited time only, you can get Honey Love on sale, which is amazing. It's 20% off your entire order That's amazing.
That's huge.
It is huge. With your exclusive link, honeylove.com/BMSS. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/BMSS.
The closest, and Melissa will remember this well, the closest I became to being like an insane helicopter parent was when Mia went through her first breakup. That was went through our first breakup.
Oh, it was awful. I didn't sleep over it. And Nia and Holly and Kenzie was even upset. It was just bad.
That to me was not my proudest moment as a parent, because I just wanted to fix it and make it go away. EJ was like, Mom, Gannett, you need to take a seat. Because he also recognized that was so unlike me. Like, I'm not usually that, like, you need to not be involved.
Yeah, like, you were really, like, it was different than the normal you. And I was like, wow, she's a normal person like me. That was our first big connect.
Yeah. So I can accept, like, oh, yeah, you have definitely crossed the line. You've gone off the deep end here. But I was like, someone's hurting my kid. I don't want my little girl. I don't want to happen.
Of course, we all go through that. I mean, as a parent, those feelings of, oh, I got to help. I got to make this better. I got to fix it. Some things can't be fixed.
Yeah.
And some things have to be learned through the skinned knee.
Yes.
You know, learn the heartache first, whether it's emotional pain or physical pain.
So Kenzie's
wake up call.
Mm-hmm. Kenzie's best friend, Austin, I think he's 22. He said to Kenzie the other day, because Kenzie told me, it was so funny. She said, Austin and I were chatting and we said, you know, we're so independent. We work, we get up ourselves, we grocery shop, we do everything we do. But when will we stop asking our parents to make our doctor's appointments for us? And it's funny because Austin does it too. And he and his mom lives in another state. And he's like, hey, Mom, I need the dentist. Can you do it? Because it's a pain to make a dentist appointment.
That's so true, because you reach a point. So Kendall's in school. You guys may have just seen her recent, because everybody was talking to me about it, her recent story. And it was that exactly, Melissa. She was sitting in the school infirmary. She has an earache. And they're right in the middle of their dance national practices.
Headstand,
upside down, turning. So she's really, I didn't even see it.
It was funny.
And it said, Hall? It said something like,
it should
like,
be illegal for you to be at the doctor's office about your mother.
About your mom. Yeah, something like that.
Something to that effect.
So funny. She's 21 years old, living on her own, doing all that. But she needs her mom at the doctor.
When Brooke went to get her COVID shot, she was here. I mean, she was 24 at the time, 23, 24. And I was with her and she asked me to hold her hand while she was getting her shot. I'm like, oh my God, it was so cute. Like, you're 23 years old and you still need your mom to hold your hand while you get a shot.
I think that's because their whole lives, that was one thing they never did. Yeah. I mean, even the dads didn't take the kids to the pediatrician.
No. I don't think my husband ever.
Yeah, we'll I don't
the doctor
think
with them ever.
No, I don't think.
Isn't that funny that they feel that? Yeah. And Kenzie and her friends said, I need my mom to make my appointments. That's cute.
I think that's universal. I do.
Yeah.
I think that strikes a chord of everyone. I really do.
I don't think that's a helicopter parent.
I don't either.
No, I just think that's like a mom's duty or whatever.
I don't.
Yeah. That makes me feel good to say that. Thank you.
I agree. Yeah. I think there's some things that's just part of motherhood. And then I think when it crosses a line and it gets a little excessive and involved.
Like, I don't agree with the thing tracking them on the phone all day long, knowing where they're at.
I would never do that.
I think is a helicopter parent.
Yeah. I only did it to make sure she got up, because I want to tell you why. Can I tell you why though? Her last trip, she was going to Mexico. Selvin went and picked her up. And she always sets her clock. He called me and he goes, I'm sorry, I'm calling you so early, but Kenzie's not coming out. And all the it's dark. I don't know what to do. I said, bang on her damn door. And he did. He actually had a key and she was totally asleep. She would have missed her flight.
Oh, wow.
So I just know she's not an early bird. So that's the only reason. Yeah. I just made sure. And I was like, I'm
going. But I do know people who like watch every move their kids make on their phones.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that.
A teenager, I can understand.
It can be really, really give you peace of mind, Kel, because like when my kid, you know, I had my two older girls, I was in LA, they were in different states. My husband was home. I didn't track them, but I knew when they were at school. I knew when they were home in their apartment. Mm-hmm. I knew if Erna was on the road, he travels every day, you know? Yeah. So I love it for that reason, where I know where they are at a certain time. And I don't look at it, not even, definitely not every day, but it's nice to know that they're home safely if they were supposed to be home at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And it's good if something does happen in college, like you could, you know, I don't know, but I don't travel
anywhere. I mean, look at our kids, how they travel. Like Melissa, you have Kenzie, you'll be able to know when she lands in Bora Bora because
she'll text me.
Say, oh, good, she's there. You know, stuff like that. I do like that.
And my kids are good about, because I'm like, I just want to know you're there and then go have fun. And I won't.
Yeah, mine will text me the second they land.
Yep. We do it as a family. We always say landed. It's just what we do. And Greg always tracks us in the airport because he tells us what gate to go to, because we hate to do that. So he'll say landed and it's a joke. And then he goes, go to gate B, whatever, you know, and that's it.
It is so funny. I'm 53 years old. I tell everybody where I am. So I'll text. We have a family group chat.
Yeah.
No, I'm at the airport boarding. Here I am.
We do it too.
I took my mom and my sister. I landed. Here I am. Because I'm like, you travel so much. We have no idea where you are. And I just do it so people know where I am. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I'm checking off or wherever. I made it to so-and-so's place. I also find it funny that EJ is the one who probably tracks us all. Like, I think we are all on it. And his reason for doing it is because he was like, are you going to be late to like our appointment? Are you?
Yeah.
are you really on your way? Or are you just making that up? Did you really leave to come get me? I'm like, oh, okay. So his reason is totally different. But yeah, that's I think we made helicopter parents to be like bad people. They're not bad.
I'm saying it's good. I never said it was bad.
I don't think you're bad people, but I think you can be very annoying. Yeah, I'm just gonna put it out there. It's annoying. It's annoying. It's annoying to many people. If you're interacting with other people who have to work with your expectations as a helicopter parent, if it works for your family, great, but not, I just don't think you want to deny your child the ability to grow up to be fully enjoying the scope of what it means to be an independent person.
They'll find out.
Yeah, I agree.
It's interesting.
And I think that's what Hoda was saying, basically.
Yeah, right, right. She just wanted to run over there and say, what's the big deal? Help her up.
Yeah. Yep.
And then her daughter discovered she could do it on her own. And then she felt so great about it. But a helicopter parent would have intervened. And that's my point. I don't think I'm like that. I'm like, I would have been anxious. Yeah, watching it.
Mm-hmm. Well, but my God, also, look what we all went through, watching what our kids went through.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Exactly. I mean, sure people are thinking,
doesn't even cut it.
I'm sure people up there, and we're going to go through this whole thing, and people at the end are going to write in their little comments, but you sat there and you watched it. You know people are going to go to town.
Yeah.
You know people are going to go to town with that.
Everybody has their own opinions.
And look at our kids.
I'm understanding the full context. Sorry, go ahead, Joe.
No, the kids have turned out just fine. They're fine.
Hey, Hall, I know you got to go, so we better wrap up.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It was such a heated discussion.
It was fun.
That was fun.
It was fun. Yeah.
It was
fun.
That was a good one.
I like that. Good.
Well, that's why we're here. We don't always agree, and we can agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Yes. But that's the beauty of our relationship.
I love it. Always love it. Always love talking. And you guys make me think, because sometimes I'll come back and I'm like, oh, I thought some more about that. This is what I'm thinking. I get it now. So I appreciate it.
Holly, you're the thinker of the group, so.
I will leave our conversations and still be thinking about it.
Yeah, me too. All right, Holly, you need to check out.
I need to leave you ladies, but you close. And I'm so excited that I got another chance to chat with you on Because Mom Said So.
Yeah, so this is our second to last
one.
One
more left.
And safe travels, Holly.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you, ladies. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for another episode, our almost final episode of Because Mom Said So. Make sure to listen and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Tune in next week because we will be on Dear Dance Mom. And there you can ask us questions and suggest topics, and we'll answer everything. So thank you guys. And thanks to my lady friends, because I'm a mom and because mom said so.